This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Raise a Game. Good morning, Frida Liu here. A senior consulting partner, Leadernomics, Dr. Yvonne Sam, and she's also with Five Echo, provokes senior business leaders to lose their minds and come to their senses by integrating their leadership lessons on the crisis and energizing them to counter intuitive learning, resilience, and increase innovation. So it's the final episode of the Transformation Transition series, and she's here with us again to talk about contextual intelligence and its role in an increasingly diversified and global business world. Our topic today, contextual intelligence using familiar objects, UFOs, in new environments. Before that, what is contextual intelligence? You're only... Anyway, go on.
I guess everybody now knows a lot about IQ,
yeah.
EQ, yeah. Even SQ. Have you heard of SQ?
Spiritual, is it?
Yeah, spiritual intelligence.
Okay.
But a lot of times when you hit the word spiritual intelligence, people go into the la la land, right? Well, spiritual intelligence means something bigger than yourself. So if you have emotional intelligence, you start thinking outside yourself and interacting with others. Mm. We know that. So spiritual intelligence is when we have a common goal in an environment, in a context where we can work towards that goal. And in spiritual intelligence, we said if we look at all of us as one, then we should have all the resources we need in that context. We just need to stop, pause, and let it rise. Mm. So emotional intelligence teaches us to be aware of ourselves, of when we can step up and when we should step back, when we should let others speak and when we should listen, right? Mm. So spiritual intelligence covers that. So where does contextual intelligence fit? Now, in fact, they've coined this term, I think, at Harvard University, and I'm trying to think of the woman that just wrote this book called Contextual Intelligence. But I've been using it in terms of looking at the work we've been doing in the East and the West. I've just come back from the Middle East, so it's right in the middle. I'm right in the middle. So you can sort of think, okay, in a context of the Middle East, is it East or is it West?
Mm.
And we're right at that confluence. So, and obviously, there is that Eastern feel that we always feel about the Middle East. And with the East, we've got so many different deep cultures, very family-oriented, very traditional, at some level very spiritual, because it's a lot about doing everything for the greater good, you know. But the West, and nothing wrong with that, we've got very focused, so we're becoming very evidence-based, we're into process, so we need to discipline, so we can't just kind of let time pass.
Mm.
So there's that two differences. So in the Middle East, we found that in that context, where it was neither exactly like the traditional Oriental East,
right,
nor that very strict West, mm. the very almost the German position, you know,
mm.
there's almost that no man's land where, you know, what does contextual intelligence mean? So when you look at a context, we can sometimes, in an environment, say, if we're in China, look at, okay, well, they've been behind for a little while. We'll tell them how it's worked in the West, and we'll show them. Oh, we'll contextualize a little bit, but we'll show them. So contextual intelligence now is looking at, if what we've learned in the West works in the West, there might be a contextual shift that when we look into a new environment, there might be something that we might have passed by that we thought needs to improve, but we've basically taken out the whole thing. We've thrown the baby out with the bathwater and not taken the best out of that element in, say, in the East. Take the best elements that fits in the Eastern environment and come up with a third global synergy of both the best of that East and the best of the West. Now, the best of the West in the West might be very different from the best of the West in the East.
Mm.
So contextual intelligence is asking us to step back and analyze, and again, in our session one, use our senses to observe in this context. Let us be humble for a while, and before we impose what's worked in a different context into what we think might be, oh, this should be simple to do, familiar in that old context, but probably totally unfamiliar in the new context. So we step back and say, let's study and learn about the people. Let's live with the people. Let's live with this culture. Let's live with this in this company and see and feel and hear what's working for them and what do they truly need, then only transplanting some of the things into there to make a hybrid. So contextual intelligence is looking at how something in one environment, in that one context where we are intelligent in, and before we transplant it into the new context, not just take the best of what's in that old context that's good in that old context, we actually look at it as holistically and see what we can apply in there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we give the example of that's East and West, contextual intelligence is also very rampant now looking at tradition versus technology. Mm. How many of us say, well, we've always done it this way.
Right.
So with new technology, we should just put it the same way. It's a bit like when Henry Ford was looking at replacing the horse and carriage with the car. So obviously, they just thought, well, with the horse and carriage, it depends on the horse, it depends on each individual thing. But Henry Ford decided that, well, what's the outcome? We want to go from A to B as quickly and comfortably as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want it to be so expensive because people were starting to make cars after the development of the automobile, dolling it up like a carriage.
Right.
It is my, I'm going to have it custom sprayed, custom this, I need bells and whistles on this, I don't need bells and whistles. So it was costing, literally an arm and a leg at that time to make each car. So it became the playthings of the rich and famous.
Right.
But he said, I'm going to make a common car for the family who has a horse and buggy.
Mm.
So what's a horse and buggy equivalent? And so he started thinking of, really, it was about bringing the price down to look at, it should cost as much as a horse and buggy.
Right.
Right? And not a horse and carriage.
Mm.
And how do I make it functional so that we can just go from A to B? So he started thinking about basically streamlining it one color. We've heard about the conveyor belt, engineering. And that started a whole new way of thinking. And suddenly thought, oh, my goodness. There is a difference in automobile. We don't have to customize things. The price can be brought down when most people think it couldn't. And now we can have an economic horse and buggy substitute in a car that's affordable for families.
Mm.
So what I'm talking about isn't new. And so now instead of fighting sometimes, technology is bad or tradition is good.
The way things have always been done.
Yeah. And that's same with the young people saying, everything is, we've got to use our devices. How about putting that aside and having a device-free night?
Mm.
How about connecting eye to eye and having a conversation? God forbid. And I hear that. I think there's a restaurant here that where you can actually put your phones into a box.
Right.
So that during the dinner, families can have conversations.
Well, I've got to take a photo of the food.
That's what I was saying. I said I heard it from actually a family friend, and I just exactly. What about taking photo of the food? Because everything, my whole life is in that now. So, and then again, the third context is male and female.
Right.
So, how often have females, I guess, modeled action and become successful in a man's world by becoming masculine in their leadership style because that's been rewarded?
Mm.
And I guess the old style was, we are the most powerful because we have the knowledge and the strength. So you can either overpower physically over your competitors or you can actually outthink them because you've got the knowledge. But now we realize that we're coming to an environment where the leader, I'm afraid, may not have all the answers.
Right.
So their greatest skill is observation and questions to excite their teams towards a similar and a very good story seller. Not a storyteller, a story seller. We want to get out of this poo that we're in right now so that we can get to a better place, which is a dream place where the choirs are singing and your life is good. So that's really what a leader needs to do. And women do that much better.
Mm.
We can paint stories. We've been telling bedtime stories for God's sake forever.
Mm.
And we can excite the team because we've got so many things to do, especially now, I think, marrying work with home life, trying to be a wife and a mother, that we need to actually excite our teams, like our children, to make their own lunches, to start maybe doing more of their homework themselves.
Right.
And then you may be actually coming in and being a coach.
Right.
Right? Because you cannot be that full-time mother anymore sitting there doing the homework.
Mm.
So I think women, the new leadership style actually steps quite well into this new context where we need to excite our teams towards one vision, but they've got to help you help them get there.
Right. Interesting, the contextual intelligence when it comes to gender. Yeah. You know, we're talking about using familiar objects, UFOs. We'll discuss these UFOs right after this. I'm here with Dr. Yvonne Sam. It's Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. It's Raise Your Game. It's our Transformation Transition Series with Dr. Yvonne Sam, Senior Consulting Partner, Leadernomics, and of course, she also runs 5 Echo. Our topic today, final one, is contextual intelligence using familiar objects or UFOs in new environments. And I know there's something we talked about the first episode, maybe a refresher, what are these UFOs?
Yes, that's right. Well, UFOs are unidentified familiar objects.
Okay.
So in other words, what can happen in not only the old context where it was successful, some of the things that are probably important has been bypassed because they're so familiar, because we've done it so well.
Right.
So you actually look at the not all the detail, because you just look at, oh, you know, that works in this context. So we'll just bring the whole process and dump it into a new context. But in the new context, there is also some very familiar things that we bypass because, yeah, it's lumped into what hasn't worked. So it's become so familiar, we just want to you know, put something new in.
Mm.
So now the challenge is, how do we actually look at a mixing bowl where we look at the new context as an alien environment? I mean, and let's actually imagine that there are good qualities of something that's in that old context and some good qualities in the new context. But we need to mix different parts into this bowl that already exists. So we don't need to recreate something. It's just taking what we have and repackaging it
right
for that environment. So it's like taking a temperate plant and putting it into a glass house in the tropics.
Okay.
So that it can thrive. Because if you just bring the plant,
right,
it's beautiful, you pop in there, it's going to wilt.
Right.
I'm just noticing all my roses that you know, I got gifted, it's just was wilting in this environment. So I might have to keep it cooler. Not just the air conditioning. I might actually need to protect it in some way. So the glass house represents that new context where we'll take the best of that plant and slowly introduce different things until it maybe adapts.
Right.
So, and that's one of the key things that I think people are not aware of, looking at those familiar objects, because they're so familiar, you've blindsided.
Yeah, right.
So that's the unidentified familiar objects that in a new global mindset, we need to actually start thinking, it's not because we were right in one context, we're going to win. When the paradigm shifts, everybody starts at zero. And this is the zero we want to look about.
Right.
And therefore, collaboration, as in series 3, we were talking about collaboration. We need to ask the question, where do we want to go with this? We've got this technology that's been imported. We've got this environment. What can we mix together to come up with something that works here? And from this learning, go to another context.
Right. Okay. And when you talk about global mindset, I guess we do have to be global in the sense that, okay, what works west and what works east, and then you'll have to get the best of both worlds in this context, right? Is that what you mean by a global mindset?
Correct. And in a way, this is again the paradox, you know, what's old is new again, you know, the old way of, the new way of saying like everything new is good. But if we look at parenting, say male and female leadership, we've always needed male and female leadership in a family. Then we know that with single families where we're, you know, sort of living with our divorced partners. Our kids are living with our divorced partners. How hard it is to be a single unit and be all things to everyone.
Right.
But again, that's even the model family now of how do you bring in both masculine and feminine leadership in a context that might need a different mix of both.
Right.
It's not 50-50.
Mm.
It might be 60-40. It might be 90-10. Sometimes you've got to be masculine
right. In
some environments. So I've just written a book that's been released called Emerging Trends in Leadership and Strategy, where I wrote a chapter with a strategist from Thailand, Rangsang Thamani Wong. He's a strategist that has planted his amazing traditional skills of being a Thai national using MBAs from America to coach national companies in Thailand, where they've got their own nuance of doing things, but he's married the Western teaching, and he's very celebrated as a coach. So we've written a paper called The Urgent Need for a Global Mindset, where I've brought, again, my own upbringing as an Eastern girl born in the West, educated in the East.
Very East.
Very East. And then exported back to, actually recalled back to Australia to be retweaked in my higher education, and then re-exported back for the global marketplace in the Middle East. So we've written a paper that actually looks at some of these principles of how do you create a global mindset to shift contextual intelligence. We talked of East and West business, you know, like when you're going into China, you know, is it too late to go into China, or have you actually looked at, it's never too late to go into any place if you have the mindset of setting UFOs in place, looking at unidentified familiar objects, and therefore is that there lies the blue ocean that people talk about. Right. So how do you deal with that? And I think the key thing now that we're looking at is this global mindset. It's not just about global thinking, but you can do it in your own home environment. Like I said, female and male styles in your relationship. Sometimes, you know, you need to learn how to shift that balance. Marrying tradition and technology, how do you actually know how much of tradition you need to mix into this context to get the result? And last but not least, looking at the big global picture of East and West, how do we actually marry that so that we can actually leverage the best?
And I guess we just have to conclude with this. You know, is there a checklist to keep us on track of our transformation in transition?
Okay, and as usual, I'm going to answer the questions. There is usually a checklist, and I think one of the key things is I would advise as a coach to take a very global look at this paradox of looking at a global view and make your own checklist yourself. If you can review the four sessions, I know we've kind of covered a lot of things in four sessions, but if you take the best of those and make a checklist that works for you in one context as the prototype of you moving forward. So for example, the key principle I'd say, I'll bring all this together, is to say this. Lao Tzu, philosopher, 600 BC, and what's old is new again, he says of leadership, and I quote in English, go to the people, live with them, learn from them and love them. Build on what they know so that at the end, as leaders, we can say, wow, the people look at us and say, we've built it ourselves. Unquote. So what Lao Tzu basically is talking about is it's really looking at contextual intelligence. So as a leader, we can't be so high-ended as to say we know it all. We go and live with the people and know what the assets we've got to amplify. Let them play with it, because we let them build on what they know. Let them build on what they know. And then as they build on what they know, at the end of it, they're learning from one another and they've crafted something else. So based on those series, like Transforming in Transition, this strategy, our TITS strategy, if you can take some of the acronyms, I mean, some people say FARCIT is a good way to start. You know, what do we need to focus? What do we need to get aware of? Right. What do we need to repeat and celebrate so that we can do that? But don't just do that in one context. We've got to keep FARCing it in different contexts as our context shifts. So the second thing is, so if I had to make a checklist of a success formula, I'd say think of that quote again, absorb it in the way you understand. Then start with one. Begin with end in mind. What do you want? Okay, then FARC it. I mean, really start to understand what you need. Then three, open up your senses and develop your sensory acuity to pick up changes in your environment and in yourself. And you can pick up new skills you might need from your people. And then don't forget to celebrate. Okay? Actually, you have to do it.
And then
do it first. You can't celebrate in your head. Do it, test it, and then celebrate. And then repeat the whole cycle again, because your outcomes might have changed after you celebrate. So that's the success formula of, you know, how to develop during disaster.
All right. Dr. Yvonne Sam has been with us for the last 4 weeks. If you missed the earlier interviews, of course, you can go to our website and download the podcasts. Thanks for being with us. This is Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.